Dreams of Home. Setting: Javan Harrell is in his field, plowing behind an old mule. He wears a ragged shirt and pants, but the style can still be determined. It is an old Confederate uniform. His wife Anna holds a young child as Javan approaches the edge of the field. Anna holds a glass of water and waiting until he reaches the end of the row. Home. Javan Harrell keeps that one word foremost in his mind. Up until a month ago, he thought he might never see it again. Home. The vision of it in his mind kept him going during forced marches through knee-deep mud in the midst of spring downpours. The vision of a fireplace with bread baking on the hearth warmed his heart and soul during cold winter nights huddled in a canvas shelter with seven other men. The memory of earthy smells of a newly plowed field, roses in bloom on the bushes at the end of the porch, and fresh lettuce in the garden rejuvenated his body as the summer sun beat down on his wool-clad body. He remembers hours marching across endless countryside, days without fresh water to drink, weeks without food, months without sufficient sleep, and what seemed years without a letter from home. In January 1862, Javan had gone to war, not to protect a huge plantation and way of life that included cotton, tobacco, or slavery, but to answer the call of his home state. He is, and always has been, a common, simple man. His 50 acres of land, a stone's throw away from the swampy Eastern Carolina marshes, was handed down through his family from his parents, Jesse and Louisa. Following his second battle, Javan's capture and imprisonment tested his resolve. Only his visions of home gave him hope. His vision at night before falling into sleep, physically and mentally exhausted, were of Anna's face. That smile, those eyes. Each morning he awoke to her habitually pushing her hair away from her sky blue eyes as her tantalizing lips whispered a soothing, "Good morning, my husband." During the long season of soldiering, those visions restored him, refreshed him, gave him the strength and determination to face each day. The vision was of a loving and thoughtful wife, cherishing him and adoring him, smiling, laughing, happy, in love, at home. When Javan received his parole, he headed home, where he discovered that his father had disappeared one night, never to be seen since. No one knows what happened to the jolly old man. Only Mother and dear Anna remain, and they have aged so much since the days before the war. His mother had become old and bent, constantly coughing and convulsing in pain. His wife looks older than her mere 34 years. Her hair is almost completely gray, and there is a sallow look to her skin that seems to fit her body in folds. Rarely does she act playful anymore. The tiredness in her eyes haunts his dreams at night. Their youthful spirit has left them, and they brood over lost hopes at home. Their hopes were dashed one March day when the Yankees came. They burned the barn, stole the pigs, and took the horses. Within a week, the Confederates had come, and they too ravished the homestead. Most of the chickens and tools were confiscated. The devastating blow came when the soldiers found the stored bacon. The family was left destitute. This was now home. War takes a terrible toll. His house is falling down, neglected. His fields are hard to plow. He lacks proper tools, and those that remain are damaged or uncared for. His family is disintegrating before his very eyes, and he feels powerless to do anything but keep walking and walking behind this old mule and this plow. Now he recognizes that war isn't just about men dying on the battlefield. He realizes war spoils so much more, leaving only drudgery, toil, exertion at home. Today, Javan trudges behind a dull plow pulled by an old, broken-down mule. His fine horses are gone. His beef and milk cows are gone. His fat sows with their little piglets contently slurping milk from their mother are all gone. A few scrawny chickens and this broken-down old mule are all that remain. Yes, the ground is still there, but it is barren. The fruit trees were cut for soldiers' firewood, but his haven, his refuge, his dream that he knew as home is gone. He finds himself almost wishing to be back in the soldiers' camp again. At least there, he could dream of home. Dreams of Home, Historical Notes and Teaching Tips. Union General William T. Sherman reported, "War is hell." His infamous quote proved quite correct during his infamous Georgia campaign of 1864-65. From Atlanta to Savannah, Sherman's troops cut a swath of destruction over 50 miles wide, letting the southern civilian population feel the sufferings of war. Union General Phil Sheridan accomplished the same goal in Virginia's beautiful Shenandoah Valley in 1864. After his troops passed through, few could survive on the scant remains. In the war-torn theaters of war, the arrival of any army, enemy or friendly, might lead to extensive civilian suffering. At the end of the Civil War, as Sherman marched northward toward Washington, his troops continued their pillaging even amongst the loyal Union civilian. One man, Unionist William Roger Albright, attests to the poor treatment of his property. Following the war, loyal Southerners could apply for relief through the Southern Claims Commission. Albright applied for over $27,000 in damages, and though they were not allowed, the dispositions described the destructiveness of a passing army. The war in eastern North Carolina, the settings of Dreams of Home, was especially savage as the siege of Suffolk, Virginia, left both armies encamped for 4 months. Confederate General Robert E. Lee sent Lieutenant James Longstreet to the region to collect supplies for his Army of Northern Virginia, fighting along the Rappahannock River in Northern Virginia. Inspired by a Civil War print found in a calendar entitled Swords into Plowshares, Dreams of Home depicts the life of a returning soldier following his service during the Civil War. His expectations are dashed by the savagery that his home suffered while he was off on the Virginia front. Our story's hero longs for days past, but must face the future, no matter how bleak. Key terms. States' rights is seen as an all-encompassing term describing the feelings that many Southerners retained in local self-government and a rejection of federal power. Yankees were the derogatory names given to Northern soldiers by civilian Southerners and military alike. Confederates were Southern soldiers. Confiscated is a term that describes the taking of a civilian's property primarily food, livestock, and supplies. Both armies contributed to suffering of populations in and near the war fronts. Parole describes the release of prisoners of war on condition that they return to their homes and not take up arms against their enemies until properly exchanged by the military authorities. Many Southerners violated their paroles, and many Northerners too, but most viewed a parole as their word of honor and returned home and awaited exchange. Password 3.